Hey guys, this is your host Nitin Binhani and a very warm welcome to my startup podcast channel Jazair Audio, where we share real stories with real learnings.
So our guest today is Puneet Shah, who is the managing partner at Altaria Capital. Established in 2017, Altaria Capital is India's largest venture debt fund, focusing on startups that have been backed by strong VC firms. Today, Puneet would be sharing with us his valuable insights on venture debt based on his expertise and experience of backing up many startups with venture debt. So let's welcome today's special guest. Hey Puneet, welcome to Jazair Audio. Pleasure to have you on board.
Thanks, Nitin. Thanks for having me over.
So can you explain what venture debt is and how does it differ from other forms of financing?
Yeah, so typically, if you zoom out a little bit, right, you've got two forms of capital that any entrepreneur or any company can raise. One, equity. Second, debt. Now, when you raise equity capital, you are essentially trading ownership for cash. That is, you part with some percentage shareholding in your company in exchange for cash that an investor gives you. Along with that, you typically sign up for sharing certain controls in your business with the promise to give returns anywhere ranging from 30 to 40% a year for early stage investors. So this in a way is high risk, high return capital, right? On the other end of the spectrum is, let's say, when you get bank debt, which is, you know, cheapest source of capital, but it comes with its own bells and whistles. It is not necessarily solving for the medium to long term. It is solving for very short term mismatches. And now when we come to our startup ecosystem, this form of capital is not there. And if it is there, it's there with a very, very small quantum compared to the entire need a company may have. Besides, what we end up seeing is that banks will ask for hard assets, collaterals, personal guarantees, etc., etc., right? And they are not giving you money in a way to extend your runway. They're there for the short term. They will be out in the short term. They will not be there for the medium to long term. Because fundamentally, if you see the way, when you are a custodian of public money, you at a structural level itself can't take high risk or not even medium risk for that matter, right? And hence the credit appetite for that market is very small. Now, when you look at something as venture debt, which is basically where we work with startups, we don't take personal guarantees, no hard collateral, like the founder's house, etc., etc. And most of our companies are burning cash month on month, which means the survival period that a company has every month is reducing, right? Now, we need to price ourselves for this risk. So what we say is that, hey, we're giving you medium-term capital. We will, in a way, expect returns which are not as much as equity, not as low as debt, and we will want somewhere in the middle, right? Now, the question is, how do we structure returns also in here? The way we structure our returns is a mix of fixed income returns and some small equity upside, right? And this equity upside is obviously contingent on the company doing very well in the next 6-7 years and ensuring that, you know, we don't add so much debt to a company that the debt by itself becomes unsustainable. So what venture debt in a nutshell is intended to do is to solve for valuation for the next round of capital, is to solve for having less dilution. But most importantly, what it does, it gives you more time. So we're solving for medium term outcomes. While I think in our, you know, product mix, we do have even short term working capital structures in a way. But largely speaking, if you think of true venture debt, it's solving for the medium term and not short term.
And how does it complement the future equity rounds?
So it differs from company to company. Let's say there is a company that has raised their Series A round of $4 million to go with. And with the $4 million, they're expected to, you know, go out, market themselves, sell their product. And based on how they sell and how much they sell in the next 10 to 12 months, they will probably go out and raise another round of capital. Equity capital. Now, let's say if this company raises $4 million of equity and raises and adds another $1.5 million out of debt, with the $4 million, they were probably getting from X to Y with some more capital, which is the $1 million and lesser dilution. Can they get from X to Z instead of X to Y? And hence the next round is priced at Z and not Y.
So is time related to the runway?
I wouldn't say runway necessarily. While runway, you know, we all use it loosely, but it's more about getting you more time to get to a better milestone or giving you more time to reach your milestone with a few more experiments that a founder can do. Because see, in a startup, you know, if everything was as good as an Excel sheet, right, then life would be very ideal. But given it's a new age company, they have to try something which is less ordinary and you will not go right all the time. Now, when you go wrong, it means that you lost out on time. And can you get some more time by having more capital?
What are the key benefits of venture debt for startups in comparison to traditional loans or equity funding? And how can it complement future equity rounds?
See, one is, I think, what we spoke about right now, right, which is solving for time. The second thing is about how companies have optimized their capital structure, right? If you look at Reliance Industries, for example, and if you see the balance sheet, you see the amount of cash they have, right? They have a lot of cash and they also have a lot of debt. Now, the question is that, you know, when they raised this mega round, valuing them at what, 70 to 100 billion odd, how did they get to that stage? They got to all of that by raising a lot of debt. Now, by raising that debt, they ensured that they got to better milestones, about 250 million users, and then they priced an equity round based on 250 million. So the main benefit is that, can you optimize your next round price by having more capital and essentially getting a better ROE on the business? So I think that's one. But, you know, we had done this exercise about 2 to 3 years back, where we asked a bunch of founders that had taken venture debt in terms of, you know, why did you take it? The biggest use case, rather, which was, I think, close to about 65% odd, was to protect dilution. If you're an early stage founder, let's say raising that same example that we gave, right, at Series A, you know, when you're raising about 5 million, let's say a 20 million valuation, you're diluting close to 25% odd. Now, if you optimize this a little bit and you break the 5 million as 4 of equity and 1 of debt, you will end up saving 5%. And at a very early stage, right? So, you know, we had one company which we funded back in the day, and, you know, we had done about 3 rounds of debt to them. Eventually, when they sold the business, they sold it for close to 250 million. You know, we did the back calculation and said that, you know, every time they raised money from us, had they raised equity instead, how much more would the founders have diluted? And the answer over there was 11% on a 250 million price, which is, you know, probably about 25, 26 million straight at the hands of the founder. So a dilution element remains, you know, I think one of the most reasons is for which people take venture debt, followed by, you know, more time and growing into price.
Okay. Should founders ideally club both equity and debt rounds when fundraising?
That is the way it should ideally be done wherever applicable. And it's not, you know, when you're not able to raise equity capital, you go and raise debt. That's actually a misnomer, because without equity, there's no debt.
So when should startup really explore venture debt? And is venture debt the right choice for specific needs like bridge rounds?
There's one important element, you know, apart from obviously the dilution and the time element that we spoke about. Look, if I'm a company, I've got spends probably in two areas. One is expenses that come onto my profit and loss account or my P&L, which affects my bottom line directly. Second is investments into your balance sheet, which come in the form of capex, if you're setting up stores, for example, or it happens in working capital if you're in the business of, you know, buying and selling, you know, various things. If you actually think about it, the spends that you do on your profit and loss account will have results for you in the medium to long term. For example, if you do a marketing campaign, the benefits of that campaign will come to you over the next 6 months, 9 months. And then if you look at your balance sheet side, those are more functions of cash flow mismatches. You know, you spend about 1 crore in setting up a store. The store will give you probably a 10 month or 12 month gross payback and probably 18 months of net payback periods. So for the balance sheet side of things, if you look at either capital expenditure or working capital, you want to fund that through the cheapest or less expensive sources of capital. And if you look at your P&L, you know, if you can find a way to fund that expense and you put the cost of that capital, let's say if you're taking venture debt to fund a marketing campaign, for example, if you're able to put the cost of that expense onto a particular marketing campaign, you drive your marketing teams that much more because you know there is an explicit cost that you're going to pay. So it instills a lot of discipline. So coming back, if I was a founder, what I would look at is I would just look at A, have I achieved a certain amount of product market fit? Have I raised good enough capital where I don't have survival issues per se, right? And then on top of that, to optimize my capital structure. So if I'm spending 1 rupee in marketing, am I getting, you know, 1.2, 1.3? That's the broad maths that I would look at. But more importantly is that for every rupee of sales that I'm adding, probably my enterprise value is increasing by 3x, 4x times. So it's in a way that, you know, you try to marry the cost of this capital versus the return of the capital. And the return of the capital is, we know it in the conventional world, is cash flow or profit. In the startup ecosystem, it's more about, you know, growing into valuation. Of course, profits are important, cash flows are important, but that's hygiene after a certain point. This one thing to add also over there is that, you know, typically, you know, people may also say that, should I raise venture debt, some bridge capital? Ideally, the best time to raise this money is when you raise your equity. Now, the further you go away from this equity, the more onerous the debt gets. And after a point, when you have, let's say, 6 months or less than 6 months of cash, the appetite is almost zero. So, you know, it's not going to be available at that point. raise venture debt along with equity to ensure that 6 to 9 months or 12 months down the line, you don't have to go back to raise a bridge if things don't go to plan. You know, it's the classic saying, right, that when it's raining, you'll not find an umbrella. So rather just buy an umbrella and keep it in summer.
Let's talk about venture debt term sheet. What is the structure like? The interest rates, the repayment schedule, warrants, etc.?
It's actually very simple how we structure it. In a typical term sheet, what you will find is return expectation, which will be in the form of coupon or interest, as we usually call it, which would be in the range of anywhere between 14 to 15% odd. You would have a fee, which is an upfront fee of about 1-1.5% odd. And on top of that, you will have some warrants. And the warrants will be about 10 to 12% of the value of the debt. Now, for example, if I'm giving you 100 rupees, the 100 rupees comes back to me along with interest over a period of, let's say, 3 years. And on top of that, I will have, let's say, 10 rupees worth of warrants that I will have a right to buy at today's price anytime in the next 7 years. And I will buy it and sell it when there is a liquidity event, which is either the company has gone for an IPO or it is getting sold, where the founders will make a lot of money, the investors will make a lot of money. We make some money based on this outcome. If that doesn't happen for whatever reason, then this option lapses without any additional cost to the company. And, you know, there will be some moratorium which is given, which is, let's say, if I've given you the 100 rupees today, start repaying this money, let's say some interest only period, and then you'll start repaying money, you know, maybe after 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, as the case may be, every month for the next 3 years or so. Yeah. And I will exit at that point.
And what if the startup fails then?
Then nothing. If it falls flat, then the price goes to zero. I mean, then there is no obligation on the company that, you know, they have to, you know, pay us for it because the outcome didn't happen.
From the startup or founder's perspective, what advice would you give them when exploring venture debt as a financing option?
One thing they should be extremely clear about, this is not equity capital you're raising. You know, this is debt which needs a certain amount of discipline. It needs a certain amount of processes to be in place at the company side. If your business has crossed a certain phase, if you're into hardcore research and development and you put all your eggs into a few baskets, which would say that, you know, only if these trials go successful, will the company be worth, you know, massive, otherwise it's going down to zero. So if you're in the binariness of the business, which is good for an equity investor, but may not be good for people like us, right? So we would like to reduce the binariness of the business before we come in. And one thing to also, you know, for companies to notice, it's always the right balance that you go for. And I'll give you an example also over here, right? Let's say in the example we spoke about, right, that a company raises about 4 million. Question is, what's the right amount of debt they should take? If they raise 4 of equity, should they raise 4 of debt? Or if they raise 4 of equity, should they raise 5 of debt? Because if you look at the conventional world, right, it's typically the ratio is 2:1 debt to equity or 3:1 debt to equity. In fact, in fintech companies, it goes up to 7:1 also. So question is, what's the right balance? And that is where the nuance comes in. No, because if you have too little of debt, that hurts. But if you have too much of debt as well, and if you raise too much of debt also, it becomes a noose around your neck. So I think that's one thing that, you know, startups and founders should evaluate, that just because money is available, it doesn't mean A, it is equity, and B, that, you know, raise as much as possible.
As far as due diligence is concerned, what do venture debt really look for? I mean, are these on the basis of startup's growth trajectory, revenue, profitability, etc.?
Yeah, see, for diligence, we do, you know, I think all the things that you said, right? What is the growth in revenues? What's the profitability? You know, what's the size and scale? Have you crossed the PMF hurdle? I think it's pretty much the usual hygiene stuff that we do for even a check for 1 million or, you know, 10, 15 million also. It's pretty much the same. We go a little bit more granular and see what's a little bit beneath the surface also. And I'll give you an example of that. You know, for example, if you tell me there's a consumer brand today or a company that is doing about a $4 to $5 million of ERR. Right now, one may say that acha, aapka, you know, product market fit is done, and hence, you know, everything, if everything else is fine, you should go and take some venture debt. Now, it's not necessary that works for us, because what we're also going to see is at what stage is the industry life cycle. So the industry life cycle, whether it's in growth mode, consolidation mode, or survival mode, that itself will play a role. The second is, you know, the example I said, right? If you're doing about a $4 to $5 million of ERR in revenue, but your peers may be doing $10 to $15 million of ERR with the same amount of capital that they've raised. So competitive benchmarking also is something that we look at a little bit more closely, but that's, you know, more internal that we see. So I think it's a few of these nuances that we will, you know, look at when we decide on giving money.
Are there any limitations or drawbacks to venture debt that the startups or the founders should be really aware of?
I think if you see drawbacks, right, I think drawback, I would think of it is extremely, extremely situational. At some point, debt is probably the best thing that you could have. And at some point, it's probably the worst thing that you should have. Because, you know, as the example that I gave, right, if a company has, let's say, 6 months of cash, for example, and they want to raise some more debt so that the 6 months becomes probably 9 months or 12 months, it's not necessarily the best time to raise it. Now, see, you may still end up raising it. You may still get it. But what you need to appreciate is that, you know, in that 6 months or 7 months, if you've not been able to raise a round, then it's an unpleasant conversation you need to have with the lender with whom you don't have a long relationship. You're still in the discovery mode of how the person behaves, how the person reacts, etc., etc. Now, too soon into a conversation or too soon into a relationship, you don't want to have a tough one. You don't want to have a tough conversation, right? Then it becomes the noose around your neck. See the difference? And hence, you know, the biggest limitation will come is, you know, when you don't time it correctly. So that's why, you know, at least, you know, what I keep on telling, you know, founders is that solve for timing, solve for size, and solve for structure.
Great. Can you explain the nuances of the timing, size, and structure?
From a timing perspective, raise it when you don't need it. From a size perspective, you know, it's a little bit of a Hindi saying, you know, pair utne phaila jalda chandar hai. So from a size perspective, you know, eat what you can chew. And from a structure perspective, you know, leave that to your cash flows. So try linking your repayments to that so that, you know, there is lesser strain on, you know, your equity cash in a way.
Finally, tell us a bit about Alteria Capital. And if you can share with us some of the examples of the startup that you funded with Venture Debt.
Yeah, so we've all been doing what we've been doing now for, I think, upwards of 12 years each. You know, the guys that, you know, we are here at Alteria. You know, we've done this in different forms and different avatars. But, you know, let's say about Alteria, which was started in 2017, was when the first fund was raised. Actually, before that, I think people should also know that we are a Category 2 AIF registered with SEBI. Our total AUM today is close to $500 million. And all this money we have raised from domestic sources of capital. We've not gone outside India to raise money. All this money comes from large domestic institutions. They come from large family offices, a few HNIs, and many people from the startup ecosystem as well. So I think that's the way we are constructed. We're presently in a third fund. The first fund was close to 962 crores. Second fund was 1,820 odd crores. And we're shooting for the third fund, which would be around 2,000 crores. So I think that's who we are. That's our size. We've been doing this for a while. So, you know, I think we've seen a lot of cycles of, you know, funding winters, summer, all possible seasons. And we've not seen it once. We've probably seen it four times over. You know, every cycle we would have seen four times. So we kind of somewhere get that, you know, we need to be patient. We need to empathize. And we don't need to be, you know, just somebody who reacts in a knee-jerk manner. So yeah, I think that's about us in terms of, you know, what Alteria is. Now, if you look at, you know, the companies that we've backed, we funded a lot of companies, you know, for different needs. One being obviously acquisition financing. We funded Cure Foods for acquisition financing. We funded Mensa, Good Glam, Goat, and I think 3 to 4 more that we had done to fund acquisitions. And there it is more about having an arbitrage. I'll just take like 30 seconds to explain that. You acquire a company at, let's say, 2x revenue, but because of your own growth rate and because of what you're able to do after the acquisition, you were able to get a multiple of 5x on your top line, right? So you're buying at 2 and selling at 5, right? That, you get an arbitrage on price. Now that's one. Second, we funded companies like Vehicle, Jumbotail, Apna Club, Inframarket, and maybe, you know, 10-15 more, which have all been towards meeting short-term credit mismatches. That's another segment. Third, we also funded companies like, let's say, Zepto. Zepto also we funded more to optimize capital structure, right? They were raising tons and tons of equity and they wanted to also raise some debt so that they optimize their capital structure and optimize for return on equity.
So to summarize today's podcast, the best time to raise venture debt is either alongside an equity raise or within 6 months of an equity round closure. Venture debt can also be raised between two equity rounds, provided the companies or startups have at least 12 months of cash runway with them. So with this, we have reached at the end of this podcast. Puneet, thank you so much for your wonderful insights and pleasure to have you on board.
No, thank you, Ritin. Thank you for, you know, having me. And again, thanks so much for accommodating the request.
Lastly, I want to thank all the listeners who took their valuable time to listen to this podcast. Keep rocking, be safe, and don't forget to share.
Are you a founder of an early stage startup and looking to raise funding? Get your startup investor ready before even you start pitching to your prospective investors. For know-how, please visit www.jasaro.in. That is www.jasaro.in.